Welcome everybody to the Cooligans live at noon every day Eastern, noon Eastern, every day Monday to Friday. We are going to be live right here across all of Yahoo Sports Network, YouTube. We might be in your microwave right now. Honestly, we are everywhere. You can pull us up on your phone, on your iPad. Tell all your children, stop watching Bluey or whatever it is they're watching and watch Cooligans, because we're going to talk about everything that's happened in the World Cup. And of course, when I say we, I don't mean just me. I'm not speaking French. Of course, my guy, Christian Polanco, all the way from Los Angeles. What's up, Chris, baby?
What is good?
Let's go.
Okay, I don't think I'm on screen yet.
There we go. There you go. Salute the people. Let them know.
What's good? Welcome to the show. I love the new digs. I got to do a rehearsal there.
I don't know how long we're going to be allowed to film in this West Elm. But when security finds out, they're going to be upset.
Okay. But absolutely thrilled. You are in the heart of New York City. I am in the heart. I'm in Hollywood, Los Angeles, getting ready for the World Cup match between USA and Paraguay. I'm already here. You're going to be here tomorrow.
I'm flying right after this show. I'm going straight to the airport, so I'll see you there tomorrow. But this is exciting, man. This is it. This is the marathon that we've been training for. The World Cup is about to start. 48 nations. Oh, my God. Look at me in Studio C. C for Cooligans. I'm going to do some graffiti in this room. This is going to be crazy. Are you ready for this?
That lamp behind you is going to be missing after this
broke.
Episode.
It's getting broke.
No, we are thrilled. Yes, we're doing live episodes. For anybody new to this, who's getting involved in soccer, this is your first time. Again, we are the Cooligans. I'm Christian. That is Alexis. We are stand-up comedians. We are here to make this World Cup fun, enjoyable, fun, funny. So this is the funniest show when it comes to soccer in the United States, and we're going to provide you with that for a whole, 40 days? So absolutely thrilled to do this.
Bro, it's going
to
be nonstop. But why don't we start with this? All right, look. The World Cup's about to start today. We got Mexico hosting the first match against South Africa in the Azteca. But let's not just talk about that. We'll get to that game, but let's talk about the entire World Cup. Maybe there's some people watching that aren't familiar with the World Cup. They're not sure what to look for. Why don't we give them five players to look out for? Chris, why don't you give me your first one? These are five players to look out for in the World Cup.
All right, so for the soccer experts, the soccer sickos, you may know these names, but for anybody new to the game, let's start with Michael Olise.
What a year he's
for France. He's a fantastic year, just an assist machine. I call him our generation's Arjen Robben because my man has a lethal left foot, and once he cuts in from the right, goes into the left, you know what he's going to do, but you still cannot stop it. He is an absolute star at Bayern Munich. He went from Crystal Palace, he went from England to Germany, and now is a player that, you know, now, you know, Real Madrid are like sniffing around and you know, is it 100 million? Is it 150 million? Michael Olise is that first one that if you're not a avid soccer watcher, that is a name that is going to impress you this summer.
I like that because you have to kind of know ball a little bit to see all the magic that he does. But he gets assists. I'm going to pick a player that, you know, a little bit of a highlight reel. You know, sometimes he makes an easy pass look a little bit more difficult. He runs around a lot. He gets you excited, especially as an American. He gets you excited, and that's Weston McKennie. Now, I will forgive him for putting ranch on pizza, but this guy is an American. He's from Texas, made his way all the way out to Italy. He's playing for Juventus. He went through Germany. He is an absolute star. Each of the last 3 years, the coach has told him, you're not in our plans next year. And he is not only impressed, he stayed on. They've given him contract extensions. But his coach recently told him, I can't take him off the pitch. He can play every position. There's no reason to ever take him out of the lineup. We need to have him. He's our best player. He even started at striker for some games, which is absolutely insane. This guy just has a penchant for the big moment. He scores in Champions Leagues. He's an absolute incredible player, and I cannot wait. This is going to feel a little bit like his coming out party. I think a lot of people are talking about Christian Pulisic on the U.S. men's national team, but I have a feeling Weston McKennie is going to make this tournament his.
And it really shows. I mean, you reading out his resume, the resume has to be that good to forgive him for the ranch on pizza, especially if you know facts. Alexis Guerreros. That is, it requires that kind of, resume to allow that. Okay.
Christian, while we're back, we were just about to talk about your second of the five names to look out for. Michael Olise was a great pick. What you got for me for number two, my guy?
Next up, I got Jeremy Doku.
Wow.
Belgium.
Did you just look up players that have destroyed Arsenal this season? Is that all you're doing?
I'm like, Alexis's favorite people who have destroyed his weekend.
Yeah, this is Christian picked my five ops, but go ahead.
Jeremy Doku on Belgium, the left winger. I mean, you see him on Manchester City. But again, a player that is, I mean, when you watch him, it's really unbelievable how, you know, the stereotype, especially with black players, they say the pace and power and all this other stuff. But my man is technically gifted. He is an incredible player, and then also has an unbelievable amount of pace and power that is just makes other people look. That humiliates some defenders. You can see defenders being like, I just don't want to be embarrassed. It's like when you see defenders in like old N1 videos, you're like, I just don't want to be embarrassed. And that is what Jeremy Doku does to defenders.
They don't do this in soccer, but he posterizes people. You know what I mean? That's just kind of what he does.
Very much.
All right. For me, number two. And I went host country heavy on these because I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of fans here. That in America that are probably interested, hey, what's going on with the American teams? What's going on with, Mexico? And in fact, I'm going to pick a 17-year-old from Mexico. I don't even know how much time this guy's going to get, but I'm putting Gilberto Mora in because I think this kid is absolutely electric. He plays for Tijuana. Now, there's a lot going on with this kid. This kid is good, right? He's young, but there's a feeling, there's a fear amongst Mexican fans that he's not going to get a lot of opportunity to play because then teams in Europe are going to want him even more than they already do. And Tijuana right now has him kind of held hostage for a high fee. I know that's probably not the right way to put it, but they're not accepting.
Of all cities, you.
Right? I mean, I wonder why that popped in my brain. I can't go there anymore. But there's fees that are pretty respectable for this player, but they're waiting for a much, much larger fee, which essentially locks him into a contract with Tijuana, meaning no team in Europe is going to come in at that much, and they're just never going to sell. So there's Mexican fans want to see this player branch out of Mexico, get a chance to play in Europe, and watch. If he does start to get minutes, if he can be effective for the Mexican national team, you're going to see just how incredible he is and why European teams want to take a chance on him. But at 17 years old, no one's going to pay $100 million for a Mexican. So this is one of those players that you just got to watch that if you watch this time, you're going to know a lot about him in a few years when everyone's talking about him.
Yeah, he was fantastic at the Gold Cup last summer. And yeah, so a fair high. I would have picked him if you did not. So shout out to Gilberto Mora. Next up for me, I'm gonna go with Champions League defender, center back, another one of Alexis's ops, William Pacho of PSG.
Well, wait till you hear my next pick. It's your ex. So at this point,
the Ecuadorian center back is, one of the best defenders in the world, and playing for Ecuador, a team that does not have a lot of great attacking options. They're going to need him a lot, and he's going to have to step up. He's going to be the reason why they, you know, whether it's a big clearance, a big tackle, he's going to be a big reason why Ecuador stays in a lot of matches. They were fantastic in Conmebol, so they're a fierce competitor in this World Cup, and it's just a matter of can they bring that level of skill and talent and confidence that they had in South America, can they just do that against some of the other countries, especially in against UEFA?
Buddy, let them start up top. They might need it. Their striker's 39 years old. The striker on the back of his jersey says, I'm too old for this. I don't even know if I'm allowed to swear on the lives. So I whispered. My next pick, Martin Odegaard. Now, again, Christian is picking all my ops. I'm picking one of my favorite players in Martin Odegaard. He currently plays for Arsenal. Yeah, and let me explain why. So, yes, he plays for Arsenal. He's had a little bit of an up-and-down season. Not sure how much longer he's going to play for Arsenal. But he is the captain, and they did win the league after 22 years of not winning the league. One of my greatest days in my life. I flew out for the parade. But the reason I'm picking him is because I believe Norway is going to have a tremendous, at least offensively, a tremendous World Cup. And here's the thing. Up front, you got Erling Haaland, everyone knows. You got Sorloth, huge, makes Erling Haaland look small. It's crazy. Those two attackers are going to do bits, but how are they going to do bits? They need to get the ball passed to them. So I have a feeling they're going to split goals, but who's going to get all the assists? This guy, Erling Haaland. This is his first World Cup. He is the captain. He was the captain at 20 years old. This guy absolutely deserves all of this. I cannot wait for him to have a standout World Cup and come back to Arsenal rejuvenated. And I believe that he's going to get all of the assists. We may be looking at golden ball. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, very bold statement.
We may be. Calmate, everybody.
I would say Odegaard is a little bit too much of a veteran to sort of be on this list, but I understand that it is his first World Cup. So he is a fresh face to the tournament. So I get it. Okay, so next up for me, I'm going to go. You picked an Arsenal player. I'm going to go with an Everton player. Everton is my Premier League club. I'm going to go with Illiman Ndiaye of Senegal. Illiman, he had a fantastic AFCON tournament where Senegal won the AFCON final, but they were stripped of their title for a lot. There was a lot of drama. If you didn't watch it, go look up the highlights.
Christian, I'm sorry. AFCON just called in. They're actually putting Ibrahim. they're putting Hakimi on your list.
Hey, you can't argue with the people who make the rules. Look up the whole AFCON final drama if you want to, you want to pretend like you know as much about soccer if you're at the water cooler or whatever. But Illiman Ndiaye is a fantastic dribbler. He's incredibly just techie and has scored a bunch of important goals for Everton. He scored the first goal for Everton in their new stadium. He's becoming a player that's become beloved by the fans, and I think at this World Cup he's going to do a lot in this tournament. He played against the United States recently in a friendly. Senegal lost, and U.S. I think probably surprised a couple people, but Illiman Ndiaye is just a really, really fun player to watch, and I hope he gets the flowers he deserves after this tournament is over.
He's super techie. I like that. I'm going with a player that my next two players, I think everybody already knows, but I think this is going to be one of the players to absolutely stand out. We're probably looking at, Golden Boot, probably the best player of the tournament, best young player of the tournament. This kid could win it all, Lamine Yamal. He could literally win every accolade besides best goalkeeper in this tournament. He is that good. He is that electric. He's got a beautiful smile. He's got like the smile of a superstar. He's got the attitude of a superstar. He's just one of those players that everyone, he's magnetic. He's got aura times a billion, bro. This dude walks in a room, everyone watches, and he's so young and he's so great. And Spain, I have a feeling, are going to do very good in this tournament because they're absolutely electric. And this is the player that will probably do it for
Alexis. Alexis, the Lamine Yamal glazing. I did not expect this. This is incredible. This is my man, works in public relations.
Are you kidding me? This kid, I could see him on everywhere from a McDonald's cup to to holding your favorite shoe to wearing Burberry. He's just all of it. He could be on a catwalk. He could be in a fashion week, and he could be at celebrating a goal in the World Cup. He's just that good.
Wow, you are selling Lamine. You don't even have to work that hard to sell Lamine, but you are doing it.
He does it all for you. I feel like his agent. Like I barely do anything.
My last player is of Brazil. I'm gonna go with Hendrick or Henrique, as they say in Brazil. Hendrick is obviously plays for Real Madrid, was out on loan in France at Lyon. He was on loan at Lyon, so two separate words. but he is first World Cup as well, another very young player, but just, he scored in the last friendly for Brazil. And given, he's a fantastic depth piece, and I'm actually not sure if he could be the starter, or would it be Igor Thiago? It could be Hendrick. Hendrick is young, but he has a lot of experience already playing at Real Madrid, and being in enough kind of pressure situations that I think the role could fit for him, even if I think he's like already ready for it. So, but Endrick is just a fun, dynamic player, just a really a good striker, sort of a Sergio Aguero type. He's good with both feet, but I think he's going to have a standout World Cup as well.
Yeah, I mean, he has to get on the pitch first. I don't know how much Carlo Ancelotti has him in the plans, but a lot like Gilberto Mora, he gets that chance, he's going to shine. For my last pick, guy you might not have heard of just yet, but Mbappe. Now, okay, I know what you're thinking. Okay,
What is this list? Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, because first of all, we just said players to look out for. I don't know where you got all these other asterisks. So the reason I want you to look out for this player is because in the last World Cup, he scored a hat trick in the final and still lost. And I have a feeling, I've met enough of these professional footballers. They're absolutely insane, okay? You beat them, you beat them to a red light, they're going to go out and buy a faster car. That's just how they are. They're just insane. They'll never forget. And I have a feeling that this has been on his bulletin board, and he has been preparing for 4 years for this retribution, and I think it's going to come in this World Cup. Also, he kind of has the attitude of give me the damn ball, which, like, you believe what you want, but sometimes that's what makes somebody great, is that desire to be like, I should be the one scoring, I should be the one getting the ball. And also, he didn't win anything at Real Madrid. He got his dream move to Real Madrid. He did all the posturing and everything at PSG. The president of PSG met, of the country, Macron, met with him to try to get him to stay in France, and he still moved to Real Madrid and got there, and they didn't win anything. They had a worse year than, I mean, he scored a bunch, but they didn't win anything. So I have a feeling this is his chance to let people know, hey, it's Real Madrid. It ain't me, baby. Look at me on France. And I think they're going to go a long way, and I think they're going to win it all. And if they do, it's because this guy has had a tremendous tournament.
It's the summer of Kylian Mbappe retribution, revenge. Yeah. He's taken so many L's the last 2 years that he needs something to kind of pick up his confidence against. And what could be better than a World Cup, another World Cup trophy?
I know he's sitting in a dark room right now watching highlights from the last World Cup final with the Kill Bill sound playing. I know it. I just know he's getting prepared for this. So I'm looking forward to it. All right, Chris, there's a little something special coming up. This is our interview with one of my absolute favorite players. We're going to take a break, but when we come back on the other side of that break, it's us talking to the one, the only, Trinity Rodman. Wow. Superstars only on this show.
Look who's back after like, what, 7 years? Maybe 6 or 7 years? I don't know.
It was not that long. Relax.
We got a vet.
We need you to win a couple more awards. All right. We need to get that contract up. If you stay in the league, you could come back in the show. And the one, the only part of Triple Espresso, the most beloved white person in Washington right now, the one, the only Trinity Rodman, everybody.
Trinity, what's good? Trinity, thank you so much for joining us again. I'm joking around. The last time we spoke to you on this show was right after you got drafted in the middle of COVID. Yeah. We still talk about that interview because it was like the confidence was already there. So where you are right now is like not a surprise at all to us. So congratulations for everything so far. But I want to start really quick with, you're in Brazil right now. We all just saw what happened yesterday, so we should just get right to it, because you came in the second half of that game.
Wait, Christian, I'm sorry to interrupt. Brazil just got another red card as you were speaking.
Okay, my apologies. We just confirmed. That makes it 42 for that one match. No, what, you came in the second half of that game. The first half was already crazy. The first game was already, chippy, but what did you learn from that experience? And then also, what the hell happened in your eyes?
That was crazy. But I don't know. It was a great, like, it honestly was a great experience, and like setting us up for Brazil next year. I think it was really cool to experience that environment. Hopefully we have more US fans there come the World Cup, because that was insane. But no, it was a really intense game. But honestly, like going from the first game to the second game, you view Brazil as obviously an amazing opponent, like so much respect for them in terms of their skill set. But the part of their game that they excel in is the mind games and the other game in the game. So I think we just did a really good job at matching that the second game, and you saw the results of that. So obviously 8 red cards is not ideal. I don't even know if you can call that a soccer game at that point, but yeah, I think it was cool to be a part of, crazy to be a part of, but I'm glad it happened, and I think that showed like what we can bring as a team as well.
Well, let me ask, because New York right now is in major conversation with the finals happening with the Knicks in. By the way, Knicks in 5, in case anybody's wondering. But Jalen Brunson got fouled kind of hard, and a lot of the conversation about how nobody got a little bit of a get back, but you are going viral for a cheeky little smile after what I would call is a professional foul as a little bit of a get back. Talk to me about what, you know, just that feeling of like, all right, we may not be the name that everyone in this stadium came to see, but trust me, we're going to stand up for our own.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, like when the game's all said and done, there's no hard feelings. Like we all know it's part of the game, but for me, like, if Brazil's going to hit us like that, like we have to like hit them back, and like, no, nothing malicious, but like, yeah, that was more of like a message in that moment of like, okay, Lindsay literally just got 2 hands shoved from behind. I'm going to go chase the ball down and do the exact same thing. And I think like, even just like smiling about it, I think adds like the lightheartedness to it of like, it's not cruel. It is just part of the game. And like, that's just my personality. I thought it was hilarious, and like she did too, and we were like talking throughout the game, chirping at each other. So I think that part of sports is really fun for me.
I love that.
I mean, and we can see that it's been all, I mean, I say this with the most like, you know, kindness and respect, but it's been amazing watching you grow up into the player you've become.
Yeah.
Not only just the success, but like you have these moments of like, you know, sometimes we think like the player, let's say like the player that gets the big contract is usually maybe the one that is, you know, not to say that your teammates are not protecting you, but you're also like kind of the enforcer too. You're like, yo, you're doing this to my teammates or whatever. I don't care how much anybody's getting paid here, but you had the moments with the Colombian national team. You have it in NWSL. You do the trend spin. Some people get mad, but there's, can you talk about just where you've become as a person and as a player? Because I don't think this is crazy to say, but you are very much to me the face of the NWSL. And just even me kind of saying that about you, what does that mean to you to be kind of labeled that way?
Well, yeah, I mean, thank you. that was very nice. But yeah, I think that's a huge part of like my identity showing through and like being true to myself. Obviously, going into the league, like there's so many nerves and like you're trying to just figure out how everything works. So there's not so many opportunities to like be crazy, because at the end of the day, like I'm trying to secure my spot. Like I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't mess up. Yeah. I can't do this. I can't do anything wrong. So now like, being more confident and like knowing how everything works to be able to be in a situation where I can be myself, I can be feisty, I can stick up for my teammates, I can be creative and have these viral moments, I think not only is really rewarding for me, but like brings so much entertainment and connection with fans. Like having all these moments through media and during the game is so fun to then talk to fans about and like have these clips on TikTok where I'm looking and I'm like, oh, all right, it's already there. yeah, I think it's amazing, and I think I've always encouraged like players to be more out there and be more true to themselves, and I'm sure like it's not as authentic as them like to like be fighting and stuff, but that's me, and I think just to keep that confidence going throughout has been huge, and like people relate to me more because I am human and like I'm not like just plain face the whole time. Like you're not gonna shove me and I'm just gonna be like, all right, brush it off, move on. I'm like, no, like no. What's next?
You'll get Trinity yeah. Will get a yellow card and then do a TikTok dance with a fan in the crowd right after, bro.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm
not yourself
me
at all times.
It's just real.
It's like you get 2-footed by Trinity Raman and then you look up and she's high-fiving Magic Johnson. You're like, what is happening? I want to ask, okay, because obviously you're here on behalf of State Farm, and like a good neighbor, State Farm is here, but like a good neighbor, your U.S. men's national team are about to play in a World Cup. You're a U.S. women's national team player. I don't know if they, if you guys chat, if there's a big old group chat with everybody in it, but if you could, if you were in that locker room before the first game against Paraguay, what advice would you give, especially to some of the newer players? Because I know you just experienced your first World Cup. What are some of the newer players who are maybe stepping onto that pitch for the first time? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, I think, I mean, going into State Farm, I'm glad you brought it up just because I think our partnership is so authentic to like who I am. Off the field, connection with youth, with community, and the human aspect I am talking about. But I don't know, like advice, I would probably say just sticking on theme, like being true to yourself and not being scared to try things. I think that's the most important thing, because when you play it safe, it's not as fun for one. And like, regardless of who you try to be, there's going to be failures, there's going to be mistakes throughout the journey. So I think just being you, trying things, is the most important thing, because the worst thing that can happen is you fail, which is going to happen regardless. So I think that would be my biggest thing.
Yeah, I mean, getting to see, look, we're a home World Cup is always exciting. I mean, we got to see you guys win the Olympics, and that was just, you know, it does something for the sport in this country, obviously. And usually when it comes to winning, you know, big tournaments and big trophies, the U.S. Women's National Team has carried a lot of the burden when it comes to that. But when you see just even the home World Cup, are you going to be able to like go any games? Is like how are you going to take in United States hosting a World Cup?
Yeah, it's amazing, honestly. Like, to have this opportunity is so cool. And even just going back to like the, like me being feisty on the field, like when other countries host soccer, I think like that's their whole core, that's their whole identity. And like the passion you see in other countries, and even just being in Brazil, like the difference needs to be like, the gap needs to close in terms of like the passion and the heart that we have for the sport. So to have the ability to like prove to the world that like U.S. soccer is amazing, and on top of that, like our fandom is crazy, I think will be huge. And I'm really excited for that moment in sports and in soccer, of like having the World Cup for the men's, but also then having the Olympics, like to show what the U.S. can bring to this game on and off the field. But yeah, I think I'm definitely going to go to as many games as I can. I'm going to be bouncing around and not miss this opportunity, because it is so amazing. And to have the ability to be a part of this and to have like a role in everything that's happening is really cool. So I hope I do catch a couple games.
What's okay. Trinity Ramen the fan like? Are you more of a, because I started out, I wanted to be with the supporters. I want to be in the crazy section. But now I want to be in an air conditioned suite. You know what I mean?
Bougie.
100%. I said, yo, it's too sunny out here. What is the Trinity Ramen perfect experience as a fan? Because we only know you as a player.
Yeah, I think I'm nervous. I'm everywhere. I'm just all over the place. Exactly what you would expect, honestly. But no, like when I go to DC United games, like I'm trying to be in the mix, like I'm with the flag, like let's go. So I'm definitely like a chaotic fan in the best way. I can enjoy a suite with some food and just chilling sometimes, but for the most part, I would say like my personality reflects who I am as a fan as well.
Okay. And you, one of the things about you, you know, you, I just want to ask one more thing about your partnership with State Farm, because you are known as a leader on and off the field. But like what, when it comes to the having that support system, what does that look like to you day to day?
Like just with like my partnership with State Farm.
You know, just in general, like what does having that support system, it could be people in your life. It could be the partnership with State Farm. It could be their insurance policy you have.
It could be your friendship with us.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, yeah, friendship. Like, no, we only talk once every 5 years, but it's fine. Every half a decade, we'll say hi to each other.
We gotta fix that. We gotta fix that.
Yeah, I blame you.
No. Hey, I'm available. I'm here. Am I not? But no. I think yeah, like having a support system off the field is huge. And I think I have my family. I have so many different aspects of my support system, and that ultimately like drives me and everything that I do and like how I show up. And yeah, and even just with State Farm, they are such a family. And like even Jake, like he is so cool, and like me and him have DM'd back and forth. Like I do consider him a friend, and I've only interacted with him a few times, so I'm excited to build that relationship and like to be able to have partnerships where like you can truly like lean on, and to have that support as well with them of like, yeah, you're doing something for like the media, but at the same time, like behind the scenes, like you do have that connection. You do have like the ability to bounce ideas off of each other, to support each other, and then like allow them, like them allowing me to be myself through it all is amazing.
Wait, yeah. Is Jake his real name? I mean, could you call him? I don't know if I'm breaking
is
the fourth
Jake
wall
his
here.
Real name?
Is Jake his actual name?
What kind
of, or is Jake...
What kind of question?
Oh, I mean, like, you can Google it, but like...
Okay.
No, yeah. I don't want to say I'm scared.
No, okay, wait.
We don't want to. He's on Google.
Yeah.
All right, right.
Yeah, Brian from State Farm doesn't hit his heart.
Don't Google it. His name is Jake.
Yeah.
It's Jake. All right.
His middle name is From, and his last name is State Farm.
Because I grew up knowing him as Jake, so he will always be Jake, regardless of anything.
I love it.
Look at Christian's going to ask you if Santa's real next. What is happening?
He's ruining everything.
What is going on, Christian? My last question is, it doesn't surprise me that you are friends with Jake from State Farm, government name, on his birth certificate. Because you seem like you get along with everybody. In particular, you get along really well with Emma Hayes, man. What's it like having a coach that I know can be like, give you a note or give you a pinpoint that's like cuts right through and can be an authoritarian, but seemingly everyone loves them and you get along like best friends and everyone seems to be chill around them? What's that vibe like? Does that help that you can have both relationships with the same person?
Yeah, because I think the foundation is like respect and trust. Like you always start it there, and she did such an amazing job at that. Like when she had come in before the Olympics, like she made sure to connect with everybody before she had taken on the full head coach role. Like she was allowing the previous coach to kind of still coach, and she was behind the scenes during the beginning trying to get the lay of the land, connect with people, and then bam, she was here. But no, I think it's a really cool dynamic to be able to really trust your coach and know that they trust you. But also like to be able to go to a coach and like lean on them, knowing that like you don't have to worry about them being like, oh, your spot's gone. Or like, I feel like with most coaches, you're going like, oh shoot, like you don't want to say the wrong thing, cause like that could be used against me in some way. With her, I don't think it's ever been like that. And it's amazing. I do truly feel like everybody on this team, no matter where they stand, can really have Emma in support. And then on top of that, like she's an amazing coach. Her tactics are brilliant. The way she operates on the sideline is so cool. The trust she has in her other coaches is amazing. And then obviously dancing with her has been great too.
Yeah. Wait, that's our favorite part too. Yeah.
I knew you were trying to get to that point.
Yeah. Dude, I gotta I was going to say, my goals in life are to, one, dance with Emma Hayes, and two, go hang out with Michelle Kang. You got such a cool life, Trinity. Damn.
We are the coolest.
It's
the
pretty
coolest
awesome.
People.
It's so cool. Yeah.
So jealous. Trinity, this has been, it's always an honor. And how cool is it that you got to do an interview where you didn't have to bring up your boyfriend, and no, your boyfriend was not brought up.
I know, period. That was good.
Let's go.
So
I
about
love
you,
talking
Trin.
About him, but that was great.
Yeah,
I know. We could, you know, maybe we get the dual episode at some point. Who knows? Doesn't matter.
That would be cool. I'll talk to him about him. Yeah. About Let's that, go. For sure.
Actually, Let's Trin, go. I want to ask
hopefully
you.
Hopefully, our next interaction isn't in 5 years.
That's true.
That's great.
I was actually
going to
ask you,
that.
Trinity, can we ask you about your ex? No, I'm kidding. No, all jokes aside.
I got to go.
Trinity Rodman, thank you so much for joining us. Seriously, it's always an honor to have you on the Cooligans. This is always super cool. And yeah, best of luck going forward when NWSL returns. And hopefully, you know, next year at the World Cup in Brazil, you get that lick back. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ah, what a, oh my God, what is this? Oh, we got Knicks fans. This is it, baby. They know the vibes. The U.S. men's national team are going to win the World Cup. I'm calling it right now because of this. Let's go. Tyler Adams. He knows what's up. Weston McKennie, I'm so sorry if you're a San Antonio Spurs fan.
I love everybody showing love to the Knicks. We were doing the same thing yesterday. But Tyler Adams, we got a World Cup coming up. Let's say, maybe let's tone it down on around like kind of quick. You don't want to roll your ankle. You don't want to hurt yourself. Hey, a little bit more.
That's a good idea. From now on, Christian, I think you made a good point. From now on, if you're going to celebrate a Knicks win, do a couple stretches. Just a couple stretches, you know what I mean?
Couple stretches, you know, put your feet up. You know, more of a, celebrate a Knicks win with a little cup of tea. You know what I mean?
With a little cash. What about some light jazz, you know, some late night jazz?
We got, that'll get after you the going. World Cup, you have your fun. You can celebrate, go to the parade, you do your thing. But beforehand, buddy. Let's
lock in.
I'm going to ask all U.S. men's national team fans to please take a cue from New York City. We are out in the streets. We are going crazy for this damn finals. This is one of the greatest things ever. Be the same way for the U.S. men's national team because the games are starting. The games are starting right away. In fact, why don't we preview?
I was going to say, eggs,
buddy, keep throwing eggs. You didn't hear that from me. All right, we got two big games today to break open the World Cup. Why don't we start with Mexico versus South Africa, opening the entire tournament in the Azteca. Mexico versus South Africa. What a huge tournament! What a huge match this is for Mexico, man.
Yeah, I mean this. The group as a whole kind of feels a little bit like it's Mexico versus everybody else. Everybody's pretty much everyone's expecting them to win, but no, it's very much a look. They're a strong squad, especially when it comes to comparing the other teams in this group. So the players that we know and love. Raul Jimenez, who just now went back to Wolves, leaving Fulham, and the players that we spoke about earlier with Gilberto Mora that on the bench. Is this the official lineup or the kind of predicted lineup?
This is the projected lineup. Exactly. But I agree with you because to me, look up at the front, and that's the most important. Raul Jimenez, if this team is going to do anything, look, defensively, we understand they're stout. Mexico, just as a being, they don't really give up. They don't give up in matches. I'm not expecting this to be an easy match for anyone that's playing them, but they got to score goals. And that's been a big issue for Mexico in the past. They've had goals come from, sort of superstar moments. But if you're going to get consistency, it's going to come from Raul Jimenez, which, look, a year older, a year or two older, you know what I mean? He's a little bit slower. But this guy is a bucket, man. He can score. He scored all over the Premier League. You would imagine it might be a little bit easier to score against South Africa. So I'm expecting at least one or two goals from this guy, or at least a couple good looks.
Mexico, and Mexico are in fantastic form going into this tournament. They are unbeaten in their last eight matches, 6 wins, 2 draws. They just played against Serbia. They beat them 5-1. That's the kind of game you need to get to warm up for this World Cup. They're locked in right now. So I'm a little bit worried about what South Africa is kind of like walking into, because I think, we were talking in our preview about this game a couple days ago that, Mexican fans don't necessarily have the most confidence in their team. But I think the team itself is giving – or is not giving Mexican fans much to doubt or much to worry about going into this World Cup.
Yeah, and if you take a cue from the interview that we had with Chicharito, which you can go in our YouTube and check that out, it's absolutely insane. He was very critical of the Mexican national team and the federation, but mostly critical of the fans not supporting during the down moments. So we talked about it in our preview. That could turn very easily. You can have the Azteca rooting for South Africa if it doesn't go well by the end of it, like Rocky IV. You know what I mean? It could very well be just like that. I have a feeling that, this is going to be. And if you look at South Africa's team, they've got one player of note, Foster, who plays in the Premier League. you know, you're going to need him. You're going to need that team to be together. And Bafana has impressed in the past. I'm not necessarily saying that it's a wrap for them, but this just feels like too big of a hill to climb. No pun intended with the Azteca being so high up in the sky as it is.
the hill is about 2,200 feet above sea level. That's the problem.
It's hard to breathe up there. So best of luck climbing it. Why don't we talk a little bit about South Korea versus Czechia? Yeah, let's go to South Korea because a lot of people have this team as a bit of a dark horse or doing very well in the tournament. What do you think?
I don't know. Dark horse seems maybe too high of a designation. But I don't know
exactly
where to.
You don't think they're
going to
even be dark horse level good?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have a strong enough team, but we do remember when South Korea played against they helped Mexico, right, in the 2018 World Cup. So I think they're going to, as far as playing in Mexico, I think they're going to get a lot of support. But when it comes to but South Korea are a team that are consistent, right? This is their 11th consecutive World Cup. It's you know, that's nothing to like scoff at. Look, I mean, there's countries that look at Italy, right? I mean, they would love to be able to have a record like that. But South Korea, I think Czechia are a defensively stout team. They had a really difficult time getting into the World Cup. They had to go through the playoff. They had to go through their last two matches. They won in penalties. So this is going to prove to be, a little bit challenging. And South Korea also has historically a tough time against European teams. So that is what I think is going to be the big challenge and why, like, Czechia is not a team that people can just easily dismiss.
No, in fact, I don't think they should be dismissed. But if I'm looking at South Korea, one of the things that I love about South Korea, and I'll talk about Czechia in a second, is they got six starters with the last name Lee. I say, don't put the first initial. Let's confuse people, okay? You know what I mean? Which Lee am I covering, Doug? Wait, everybody turn around. I got to look at the numbers real quick. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. I think use it to your advantage. And I'm not making that up. There are six starters with the name Lee. Go for it, baby. I wish I had a team full of Guerreroses. You know what I mean?
they wouldn't be able to spot you.
I wonder if they would. But let's talk a little bit about Czechia, because I think this is what's going to stand out most for Czechia versus South Korea. What South Korea is going to find difficult to handle is the sheer height and physicality of the Czechia team. You've got Schick is, I believe, 6'3". You got Suchek, who's, I believe, 6'3 or 6'4. I can't remember the other player. There's a player there who's 6'6. I mean, this is going to be difficult. And if Czechia can do anything, first of all, they're great scoring from the run of play. We saw them in Euros. Schick had an absolute masterful Euros. I think they're not just that, but the set pieces, man. If they can start to play dead ball, if they can start playing the Arsenal way, if you will, they're going to be so dangerous on set pieces. And I also think it's going to completely mute any opportunity that South Korea is going to have on their set pieces, because they're just going to be so tall, so physical. They're going to be able to clear it away most of the time. So I'm really looking at this as being like a really tough physical match. I don't think this is going to be one where we're going to see a lot of the beautiful game, especially from South Korea, which have the ability to do it.
It's easy to kind of with World Cups to lean into stereotypes, right? And Asian teams tend to be described as more technical and more focused on possession and stuff like that. But South Korea has a couple like just physically imposing dudes themselves. They're not putting their pushovers necessarily. But the issue with Czechia, I think, and I don't know if he's a captain, but Suchek, you know, obviously they got relegated with he's at West Ham, right?
Man, yeah,
he's at West Ham. But he is a set piece kind of demon, right? But then also defensively, he is a problem. I mean, in the middle of the field, he's just a very smart player and somebody that is like difficult to keep track of and mark. So that is where I think the differences are gonna be. But with that said, I mean, I don't see a lot of goals in this game, but still should be incredibly competitive.
All right. I like it. And hopefully it's they're two good matches because I believe the Mexico game is going to be great. Why don't we take a look at this? There's been obviously a bunch of big reactions all over the United States. A lot of the fans are filling in. Why don't we take a look at some of the stuff that's been going on with some of the World Cup fans coming in? I mean,
okay. Okay, this is a I think I saw this. So this is Freddie LA7 says, dude, LML, this is a gas station. So
I guess people don't realize Bucky's has such an internet fame, but people don't realize it's a gas station. We just had our first Waffle House. Oh, so this is all Freddie. This is the guy who's traveling around the U.S. Our first Waffle House experience at 1 a.m. Great food, great prices, and friendly staff. What Waffle House did you go to? that's not the Waffle House experience.
I don't know. You have not scrolled. You have not searched Waffle House on TikTok.
Yeah. Why did no one tell me that ranch sauce is like crack? Bruh, ranch is disgusting, but I get why people love it. Apparently, it's hitting the streets.
It's a gateway drug. Yeah. Apparently, this is incredible. Fiago 7 said, first time experience this flyover. Americans do before big sporting events. And I have to say, it goes kind of hard.
All yeah, right, bro.
Flyovers, it's like, this is the only thing with flyovers. As soon as you become an adult, you're kind of like, is this what our tax money's doing? Like, we don't need this, right? We could do it up for something else. We could apply it to anything.
No. We looked at the list, and hover over sports events is the top priority.
People begging for health care. They're like, nah, here's a fighter jet. Go flying over a random Giants-Jets game.
It's super important, Chris. Yeah, here's my suggestion. Drop ranch from the planes, dude. What are we doing?
Here we go. Merge the them all together. Alexis, you have the soundboard. Use the soundboard.
It's a genius move.
These are co-branded. The ideas that you get only on the Cooligans on Yahoo Sports Daily, bro.
So, I get it.
Well,
so Chris,
done.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we give these fans coming in some advice? All right. Look, they've gone to Waffle House. They've gone to Bucky's. That's a little Southern. I get it. You're experiencing the South. Why don't we tell them where to go? I got an idea. All right. If you thought Waffle House at 1 a.m. was clean and exciting, can I introduce you to any McDonald's in the Bronx? Just go to any McDonald's in the Bronx. I think you're gonna find the same level of hospitality, the same level of comfort, and the same level of cleanliness that you got. And if you don't want to go there, how about this? The Golden Corral in the Bronx. Now look, you're gonna wait 20 minutes for your food because they're gonna be filming dancing TikToks. But I promise you, it's gonna be fun and great, great chicken, dude.
Okay, yeah, we don't have Waffle House in New York, so that's why these are the alternatives. I mean, I'm gonna just go with, look, if you are traveling in the New York, New Jersey area, obviously there's a lot of options you have, but Spanish food, Latino food, Caribbean food. I mean, I'm Dominican, Alexis is Cuban. There are a host of Dominican spots wherever you go. So don't be shy. Some restaurants, they may not have a sign at all. The restaurant might be like 6 by 8 feet and just a tiny hole in the wall. But this is where this is where you need to eat. This is where enjoy.
You're making a good point because you're going to be sitting there and you're going to go, why is there a bunk bed over there? And they're like, oh, this is where my children sleep. And you're like, and we're eating in here? We shut down at midnight. The kids are the ones. They're running the till. They're running the cashier. And that's going to be a fire spot. But Christian, you make a good point. If you want to get great Dominican food, you want to get great Latino food, go to El Malecón. It's open 24 hours. You're gonna wait outside and you're gonna think, why is there chicken spinning outside of a nightclub? It's not a nightclub, okay? It's just lit up like one. I promise you, it is a tremendous, tremendous Dominican restaurant.
Yeah, look, this is a cool thing. Obviously, seeing people from other countries explore our country and our culture, and yes, this is the thing is that this country is just so unbelievably massive that you go from 30 miles in one direction and things are just completely, completely different. And even though, unlike Europe, where you go 30 miles and somebody's speaking a different language, everybody speaks the same language, but they feel very much like they're from a different country,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just all of that is a great thing. You know, I'm sure people are doing road trips and going to maybe multiple games and stuff like that. So it's just awesome to see. And I'm sure throughout the tournament, we're just going to see more and more of it. So
My last suggestion is go to BBQs. Go to Dallas Barbecue. Go get yourself some Hennessy sticky
which is
wings.
Not in Dallas.
No, it's not Dallas. It's not really right. Barbecue. I know it's a bit confusing, but trust me. And by the way, it's a New York staple. Dude, get those boneless buffalo wings. I promise you, you will thank me for the rest of your life. Get a big frozen margarita. They got one that's Knicks colors. Go Knicks in five. Forget. Hey, Christian, what do you think of San Antonio? We okay. can't finish it.
Just boo.
Yeah. We can't say the word. This has been episode one. We've got a lot more live episodes coming to you. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This has been absolutely incredible. Chris, what'd you think of episode one? Real quick, we got barely no time.
Absolutely crushed it. Shout out to everybody watching across all Yahoo Sports channels and on YouTube. We see all the comments. We're going to be bringing up a lot more comments in the future. But thank you, everybody, for joining us. And stay locked in for the Cooligans for the
Love
rest
you guys.
Of the World Cup.